Good morning, everybody. How are you all doing, family? Yeah? You enjoying each other's enjoyment, obviously? Hey, as you guys are making your way back to your seat, I just want to say good morning and welcome to Journey. My name is Jake, and which should answer your first question, I'm not Jesse. All right? And Jesse, Missy, and Micah, and Javen, they're not here because plainly, they are taking the morning off. They took the weekend off, and we encourage that, you know, just time to take a breath, just time to relax. And I was asking him, you know, where are you going? What are you guys going to do? He said, oh, I don't know. You know, we have no clue. Maybe we're going to go somewhere. Maybe we're going to stay home. I was like, you know what would be the best thing for you to do is to go to sleep in your own house on Saturday night, wake up in your own house on Sunday morning, and stay there, right? Because to me, the best days off of work aren't Saturday or Sunday or a holiday. For me, the best days off of work is when I'm supposed to be at work and everybody else is at work. And we know this is more than a job to them. This is their passion. They love to be here. I know they're missing it right now. But, you know, like I said, we encourage them to just take a break when they feel like they need a break. And, you know, we can take care of it here. We got this, right? Yeah? Yeah? And so, you know, a month or so ago when I think they were over the house and we were eating and all that stuff. And, you know, so we're sitting there at the table. And I don't know what this is, but I'm eating something. And, you know, he's like, hey, man, I really think, you know, you should take a chance to preach or to give a message. Yeah, dude. Yeah, right. That's funny. Ha, ha, ha. Whatever. And I start eating again. Jesse did not take another bite. And if you know anything about Jesse, that's significant because he loves food. You know, we all love food. But so that's why I knew he was serious. And, you know, Jesse has a way of, you know, encouraging you to do something without really giving you a choice. Like, you know, I really feel like you should enlighten and like it's going to be a great, and, you know, okay, man, I get it. So what we're going to do is just kind of, you know, I think it's just kind of easy to talk about myself, and especially the first time, it makes me comfortable. Maybe not you, but that's what we're going to do. So if you guys can turn to your Bibles, to Philippians 3. Sorry, I just caught a sneeze. It might come back. But if you guys have your Bibles, turn to chapter 3 in Philippians. And now we're going to jump off there, and this sneeze is just waiting to come out. So if it happens, it happens. I apologize. And I realize it's Sunday morning. The announcements aren't going on, and it's not Wednesday. Man, it's just like hitting there. This is terrible. I want it to go. Like, I'm ready for it, but it just stops. And so I'm going to make that weird face, like, every time, and then it goes. Oh, hey, that's what happens. It's whatever. We're going to roll with it. So yeah, as you're turning to your Bible, Philippians chapter 3, I want to take a second to do something that I've always wanted to do for the last 5 years since Journey started. Nancy and I started coming within the first few weeks. And, you know, have a little bit of a history with Jesse. Kind of know him and Missy from way back when, youth group days. And so I'm like, man, you know, I can really go to this church and be a part of this church. And if I ever get a chance to do this one thing, I'm going to do it. And now is that moment. I'm checking this off my bucket list. Renee, can you throw up that picture, please? So before you come to your own conclusion, okay, this picture was taken in my parents' house circa 1995, okay, and they always hosted the harvest party for the teenagers. And of course, we're Christians, we have harvest parties, we don't do Halloween parties. We have harvest parties where we dress up, there's pumpkins, there's candy, there's games, but it's not a Halloween party. Anyways, so this is the harvest party, and these guys showed up without costumes, so my sister and her friends did what they could out of the closet and took care of them and set them up. The guy on the right, his name's Carl, and him and his mom and dad and his family were always, you know, good friends of, you know, my mom and dad and really close. And so, you know, I get to see Carl these days maybe once a year. He lives down in St. Charles, you know, kind of living his life. The guy on the left there that's, you know, looks like a skeleton in a dress, very uncomfortable. His name's Jamie. I lost contact with him, but apparently, you know, you got the Navy pilots, the Top Gun guys. That's Navy, right? Top Gun. He's like one of he trains those guys. He's like a Top Gun trainer, so that's pretty cool. And the man in the middle that is really pulling it off, I mean, with the lips, the legs, I mean, just look at that, the complexion. That is our pastor. That is Jesse Kiros, about 16, 17 years old. And looking way too comfortable. I don't know what's more shocking, the outfit or the hair. And I know maybe that's why you didn't recognize him, is because of the hair, not necessarily the women's clothing. But so that's him. And he asked me, like, why do you want to show that picture? Because I gave him the benefit of our friendship. I'm like, dude, I want to show this picture. Like, you know I have this picture. Can I do this? Again, helps me become comfortable on stage, right? He's like, yeah, dude, whatever. Because he rolls with it. And but he's like, why do you want to do that? Well, because I can, because I want to, and you're not going to be there, and you're not going to stop me, right? And I mean, they give me the mic once, I'll take advantage of it. Two, it's because if that guy in the dress is qualified to be up here, well, then it makes me feel better about myself. So that's what that is, and that's all I wanted to do. So thank you for allowing me to show you that, and check that off the old bucket list there. All right, moving on to the more spiritual things. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. And right here, this is Paul writing. And in the previous verses, he's kind of taking some time to explain where he comes from, kind of running down his resume of you know, what gets him connected to God. And it was all about things he did, where he came from, his knowledge, his bloodline, this and that. But then he's had, obviously, his experience with God, with Jesus, and he's learning what it's really about. And so he continues in verse 7, I once thought all these things were so very important, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I may have Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own goodness or my ability to obey God's law, but I trust Christ to save me. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for who you are. Jesus, I thank you for what you've done for us. Holy Spirit, I thank you for being here with us and guiding us, God. I pray you would just guide this message, guide this time together, and let it all be about getting closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So what I'm going to do then, like I said, is kind of share about me today. And kind of share a moment that I experienced that hopefully you guys are encouraged by. And it starts at the very, 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 very beginning. I was born at a very young age to a white couple. This is my mom. This is that moment that I don't remember. She said she does, but you know, I just came in, so I get to recollect through this picture. And my parents got married when they were very, very young, like high school age. I just found out, like my dad just told me, we were talking about it Friday. He quit high school at 17 years old to go work so they could get married. So, I mean, they got started quick. And I got to imagine, you know, it was all started by, you know, the flirting and, you know, I'm talking about teenagers, love and all that stuff, and writing their names in each other's notebooks and the hearts and this and that. But, you know, it was young love. And a lot of people have experienced, you know what I'm talking about, that doesn't always last. You know, and I had an older sister. So my old sister Heather and I kind of grew up in a, I don't like the term broken home, but it just didn't work out between my mom and dad. So I was about 1 or 2 years old, and then they separated and they split. And for us, you know, that kind of really obviously changed the course of our life, like our what our path could have been. Because my dad's family never really had a base in church or in God or in faith. So, you know, had that continued, you know, without the intervention of God in their life, obviously, we could be totally different people. But that's not what God had for us. It was a quick change that we had no control over, even though it's, you know, that's what kind of changed the course, like I said, of our life. So enter this guy named George Bradley. Now, George Bradley was another guy from mom and dad's high school, you know, so this becomes dad number two. And George Bradley was, you know, into Harley Davidsons and bikes and all that stuff, and, you know, drinking and drugs. But his family did have a base in church, and he had a history of, you know, going to church and knowing Jesus. Obviously, he kind of fell away from that for a bit, like happens, but, you know, he wasn't scared off by mom being a single mother. You know, he was told even by his parents, those kids, like Barb's kids, you're not going to love them as your own. You know, you're never going to have that connection. You shouldn't do this. You know, but he wasn't scared off by, but what I like to term an Insta family. You know, a lot of us are part of Insta families, you know, where these combined families. And to kind of jump on a soapbox for a second, if I may, if you are a single mom or a single dad, and this is another thing I've always just kind of wanted to encourage people with, because working with the youth, we see a lot of, you know, these families of separated, you know, moms and dads, and, you know, you always got the new girlfriend or the new boyfriend coming in. And, you know, we see too many times where, you know, yes, obviously you as the mom, as the dad, as the adult, you know, you're looking for a relationship, you're looking for a partner. But that partner needs to recognize that it's a package deal. You know what I'm saying? My mom and my sister and me were a package deal. And thank God George Bradley recognized that. Because had he not, we would have just been baggage. You know, and when you treat people like baggage, that's how they identify themselves with. So please, let me encourage you guys. If you're in that situation, if that's where life has brought you, you know, and that's life, you know, we roll with, you know, with our decisions, with things that happen, sometimes out of control. But I just want to encourage you guys to, if you're in that situation and you have that boyfriend, you have that girlfriend, and they are all about just you, and they treat your kids like baggage, can I show you how to take care of that practically? Okay, right-footed or left-footed, doesn't matter. Just kind of do one of these things and boot them out, right? Because that's not good for your family. That's not healthy for your family. So I pray that speaks to somebody in here, and I will get off my soapbox now. All right. So, Mom, George, come in. George full-on takes us under his wing, becomes our dad. You know, Heather and I have the honor of claiming two fathers. And because none of this is to disparage with Chuck Dad and George Dad. And we grew up, how do we explain to people when we're telling stories about our dad? Well, I thought you said your dad did this. No, well, that's this dad. So Chuck Dad and George Dad. And none of this is to disparage who Chuck Dad is. You know, he never left. He never took off. He was always around. He was always a father to us growing up. And he's a great grandfather now. So none of that's to disparage him. But George Dad took us under his wing and made us his own. You know, we don't share his name, but we share his heritage and his legacy. You know, because he was the guy that even through his death a year and a half ago, through brain tumor and you know, all that sickness and then, you know, passing away, you know, he's the one I looked to. He's how I learned to become a father, become a husband, become somebody that helps other people no matter their situation, and to go after God. So that's who George Bradley was. And that was because of a decision him and Mom made shortly after being married to follow Christ. They got back into church. And not just like, hey, you know, this feels good, let's try this out. It was like full on 100%, all right? So from that point on, we got Sunday school. We're going to children's church. We have Sunday morning service, Sunday night service, Wednesday night service. And then, you know, all the revivals and this and that, and everything, afterglows. We were at every afterglow. You know what an afterglow is? Yeah? It's all about the food, okay? An afterglow is once the service is over, you all go downstairs to the fellowship hall, another nice churchy word, which is the fancy for basement next to a kitchen, and they line tables of food, and that's where you go after service. So on a Sunday night when you know there's an afternight glow, you really hope that the pastor doesn't have an altar call because you just want to get downstairs and eat. And so we were at everything. And that included, like I said, Sunday school and children's church. So that meant that we were learning all the stories, you know, everything from, you know, Adam and Eve, David and Goliath, Daniel and the lion's den, Jonah and the whale, Noah and the ark. And then you get into the New Testament and it's Jesus and he came into this and he healed this person. And he spoke this and he did this and he died and he rose again. And then, you know, so on and so on and so on. So you get all this knowledge, right? You know, as a kid, and children's ministry is great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not disparaging that. But, you know, eventually you start to learn when they start asking you questions to recount what you've learned. If you don't know what to say, the answer is always Jesus. Okay, the fail-safe answer is always Jesus when you're in Bible quiz or Sunday school class. Because if Judy Schneider asked me, okay, Jake, well, this, Jesus. Is she going to say no to that? I mean, it's Jesus. You're a Sunday school teacher. You're not going to discourage somebody from always going after Jesus, because everything should be about Jesus, always about Jesus, always been about Jesus from Genesis 1, right? So don't tell me, Sunday school lady, that Jesus is not the answer, because you are wrong, and I'm telling my parents if you say otherwise. So the fail-safe is Jesus. So remember that, okay? Keep that up here. It's Jesus. Okay, so move on to youth group. You know, you get into a teenage years. So we get into youth group. So not only do we have Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Now we have Tuesday night youth group. We have Friday night rallies. We have conferences and seminars and retreats and youth camp and outreach. We do outreaches. So we're busy, okay? I'm a bona fide youth kid. Church kid, right? From 2 years old to even now, I'm a church kid. I'm one of those church kids, okay? So I've seen it all, been through it, and I love it. I don't plan on going anywhere else. So we do these things as outreaches, right? So, you know, of course, you know, you want to encourage your young people to be a part of, you know, sharing their faith and helping out other people. So we do outreaches sometimes, you know, it's at the mall at Christmas time. Sometimes it's downtown St. Louis or on the streets of Mexico, maybe, if you're lucky to get to go on one of those trips. And one of these tools that we had in our kit was a human video. Do you know what a human video is? Okay, she does. So the rest of you, a human video is this. You take a song by, let's say, a man named Carmen. Okay, back in the 90s, it was all about this guy named Carmen. All his songs were very story-like and descriptive and, you know, just, I mean, they were powerful. Don't get me wrong. So we use this one particularly called This Blood. And while I don't remember the entire thing, it was something like this. You know, the chorus is like, you know, this blood will raise the dead. This blood will heal the sick, you know, mend the heart. And you're looking compassionately at everybody. And then something about the throne of God. I don't know what this is, more like a doorway, but then you kneel. And then at the end, the chorus always ends with, this blood is for you. Because this is at the point, eye contact. This is how Jesus gets into people, right here. Jesus is blood, right? Like you want to drive it home. Eye contact. So this is what we did at malls around the holidays. So when you're learning a human video, you're either, you know, one of the frontline people where you're like the main characters, you know, two or three people. Those are the cool people like Jesse Kiros, Aaron Miller. They were frontline people. And it's not because they were just the coolest. They were just good at it, you know. Ask Aaron to do one. He'll do it for you. Steve Lummer has played a video of Jesse doing it before, and it's great, and they were just good. You know, they were crisp in their movements, and, you know. But guys like me, you know, the quieter, you know, shyer guy, you know, I was always a backline guy. So you show up with black pants, white T-shirt, white socks, and if you weren't doing anything during the verse, it's this. I'm sorry. Usually it's like this. And when the chorus comes on, this blood. Okay? So to learn these human videos, though, we would have to practice for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. Take like a Saturday from like 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And if that wasn't good enough, a whole week out of your summer vacation, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. nonstop, because there's 20 of you that have to learn this blood is for you. And if you do it sloppy, you're going to do it again. And always somebody did it sloppy because there's 20 of you. And if you're not stiff, rigid, the eyes of the Lord piercing into the crowd. That's what you have to learn. 12 hours a day, people. This blood is for you. Not just 12 hours a day. Ridiculous. But hey, we did it. We learned it. And it was effective. Hey, show of hands. Who got saved in the 90s in a dark mall hallway around Christmas time because the youth group set up? Okay, so we wasted our time. That's all right. You're here now. That's cool. But so we had all these practices, right? But these practices didn't start just by jumping up there and starting to learn all these actions. No, it started with 3 hours of prayer. Okay, in this moment I'm talking about, I'm like 13 years old. 3 hours of just praying. I'm going to tell you something, and it shouldn't be a shock, and it's not a secret. The staff and or leadership of Journey Church does not get together ever and pray for 3 hours. And I think we're doing okay, right? So you tell a 13-year-old, 12-year-old, high schooler, hey, we're going to pray for 3 hours. Now there's some that'll do it because they're super spiritual. You know, they're connected with God, and that's amazing. But the rest of us are like, okay, I only have so many words to tell Jesus how much I love him, how much I need him, how much I want to do for him and work for him. And then that's all I got. You know, that's 15 minutes right there, right? So we would start with these 3 hours of prayer. And so you got the ones that are pacing back and forth, just praying. And God, I just want to be who you want me to be and speaking to my life. And, you know, usually it's the seniors, the juniors in high school. And then the rest of us are like, you know, scoping out a place like, you know, maybe it's underneath some chairs, or if you're lucky, like you have a piano in the room. And because, you know, you want to isolate yourself because you need time with just you and God, right? Because you want to get away from everybody and shield yourself. So you hide under a piano. And if you just lay like this, and every once in a while throw out a, and God, and Jesus, and then you try to buy yourself some time for the next 2.5 hours. But the worst thing you could do is fall asleep. Because if you fall asleep, you're gonna be found out, right? And then, you know, where's your commitment? Don't you love Jesus? Aren't you committed to this outreach, this human video? Yeah, but I mean, I'm tired. Like I said, I told him I love him. I told him I'm here, aren't I? Like, this is my summer vacation. So they bring in this guy. His name's Donnie Marple. Donnie Marple was a part of this ministry called Master's Commission. It's a nationwide type thing. They do outreaches, and they come in, and they teach these types of skits. And Donnie Marple would come in, and he came into a few different churches around here. You know, he taught up here in Troy. He taught down in O'Fallon, St. Peter's. So we're all kind of familiar with him. And he actually taught some skits and dramas at my wife's church in Washington State. So, like, when we kind of were getting to know each other and, you know, telling old stories, and like Donnie Marple, like, oh yeah, Donnie Marple came up to my church. And I don't know, side note, but that's a small world. I thought that was pretty cool. So Donnie Marple's coming in, and we're having one of these moments, these practices, and we do our prayer of 3 hours, and then he gets everybody in a circle. He wants everybody in a circle, so we're going to pray. So I'm like, okay, let's do this. So we're holding hands. Again, 90s church, pink carpet, horrible fluorescent lighting. You know, you got your yellow painted cinder block wall, and you know, just a horrible setting. It's not hip at all. So we're in a circle. You know, you got, you know, Carl and Jeremy and Jason and Aaron and Justin and Heather and Kim and Sabrina. Okay, that's who's in our circle. All my really close friends. You know, and of course I'm one of the younger ones, so I've always been kind of shy. You know, and so I just want to do my part, you know. I always want to just kind of fit in. I want to be a part of it, but I want to fit in. I don't want to lead, okay? So just let me be that person. So we're sitting there, we're praying. You know, Donnie's just kind of like, you know, wrapping it up and just encouraging us and this and that. And then he kind of gets quiet. And then he's looking around. And he looks at me dead in the eye. And again, don't call me out, bro. Like, don't call me out, please. If I'm in class, let me sit in my desk and leave me alone, and I will do my work, and I will do what you ask me. If I'm on a team, I will play my position, but I don't want to explain to you how, you know, the dynamics of hitting a baseball. Like, just let me play my part. Like, I don't want that attention. Okay, so we're in this moment, we're holding hands, and he looks at me and he asks me a question. Just me. Why you singled me out, I don't know. How do you know you're saved? Okay, so back to Sunday school. What was my answer supposed to be? Okay, that would have been the easy one, and we could have moved on. Is that how I answered? Nope. No. That's not how I answered, because I panicked. I started sweating. My hands got clammy. I started gripping my friend's hands a little bit tighter because I didn't know what to say. Why? I don't know. I froze. Okay, but I want to share with you the next couple of minutes my answer and why it was so terribly wrong, and how what I said does not necessarily get me to Jesus. And that's not why I was saved, I should say. So, okay, I'm thinking. I'm panicking. Because I go to church and I sing all the songs. Quick survey here. Show of hands if you are here today. It's everybody. It's everybody. Other hand, if you sang during worship, you participated, you sang. That's the most hands we've ever lifted in this room. All right. Praise God. See, it's not that awkward, so remember that next week. So, but you guys know what I'm saying. So, okay, so we're all here. We all sang a song, and congratulations, we're all saved. Let's get out of here and go to Harry J's for a steak. Why are we still here? Because that's all we need to come in here and punch our time clock, right? No, absolutely not. You know, the old cliche is just because you're standing in a garage doesn't make you a car. Just because you're sitting here in this auditorium doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you're around other Christians doesn't make you a Christian. So, no, incorrect. Because I sing all the songs. Now, let me tell you something. Normally, I sit back here during worship, and you know, I can't speak for Josh Braden, who played this morning. But you'll notice there's not a microphone back here for me to grab and to sing during the choruses or whatever. And I've asked Tim if we can have one of those things. He's like, no. And I'll tell you why. It's because this voice is not going to save anyone. All right? This is not what God's given me to use to minister to people. So no, my voice is not getting me saved. It's not saving me. It's not getting me to Jesus. That's not the doorway to God. It's not my voice. But of course, like, you know, that it's a good thing to be part of a community of faith, as we like to say, right? It's good to be here to dedicate to a church, dedicate a time. It's important to have your family here. It's important to come and be fed. It's important to connect. It's important to worship, whether it's music or art or your prayer or even just journaling or just whatever you find to worship. Do it. But Jesus isn't keeping attendance records, is he? So no, that was wrong. I'm not saved because I showed up. All right, back to the circle. Okay, holding hands again. Grip increasingly tighter and shaky at this point, probably. I go to church and I sing. I help out. No, Jake, just because you show up with your dad and, you know, on cleaning day or project day and you help build this bathroom or you guys, you know, we built this stair set. Just because you help set up tables for these afterglows, just because you move around some chairs. I mean, what really was I doing? I was 13 years old. You know, I'm sure it wasn't the biggest help ever. But, you know, that's not why I was saved. That's the wrong answer. But there's something to helping out. There's something to volunteering, right? We hear a lot of people like, oh, you know, I just can't connect with people. It's hard to get to know people. There's so many of us, which is true. And that's not a bad thing. But if you're looking to get to know, if you're looking for a friend, for a connection, if you want to be a part, step up and volunteer. This isn't a volunteer drive right here in this moment. But, you know, just I encourage you guys to find an area, you know. Like I said last service, you know, like 90% of those that are in leadership around here or they're playing kind of a part started at Bonfils 5 years ago, like setting up the stage and tearing down the stage and cleaning up the auditorium because that's all there was to do. We didn't do it because it was, you know, the hippest thing or the coolest thing. That's what needed to be done to keep this place going, to create an atmosphere for us to come together as the church. And so, you know, I get to think, you know, sometimes we lift up different areas over another, you know, and who knew you were going to get two Wayne's World references, but I liken it to when Wayne and Garth are standing in front of the green screen, you know, when they got the green screen, you know, they got the new show and it comes up and says, oh, New York. Oh, we're going to New York. Let's go to a Broadway show. Or Hawaii. Let's go to Hawaii. Oh, yeah. And then, you know, Garth starts kind of doing the serving thing. He's like, oh, melekiki maka, pass the point, mahalo, gong, chiki, gong, chiki, gong, chiki, gong. My wife's the hula dancer. I can't do it. Or imagine being whisked away to Delaware. Hi, we're in Delaware. Garth's like, where are we? But it's kind of like that around here. In churches sometimes, like, oh, come out and be on the youth team. Help us out at Journey Youth. You know, you can go to youth camp. You can go to all these rallies. You can come on Wednesdays and be a part and, you know, have fun. And you're hip. You can go, you know, let's skateboard with these guys. Let's crack inappropriate, you know, bodily fluid jokes because we're teenagers. And it's not weird or crude because you're teenagers. You want to be hip. You want to fit in. Okay, yeah, that's cool. That's awesome. Or be on, maybe you get to be on Journey Worship or, You know, you get to be on stage underneath the lights, and you get to be on a CD, which is available at the Info Center for $15. But that's all very cool, and it's fun, and that's awesome. Or imagine being whisked away to the cleaning team. Hi, we're on the cleaning team. Just because the cleaning team might seem kind of like a chore, it's actually pretty fun because you get to deal with other people. You get to meet other people. It's a place to start. It's important to do. You know, just like sometimes, like I said, it seems like a chore. There's joy to be found in cleaning. There's a joy to be found in handing out bulletins or directing cars in the parking lot. And, you know, teenagers, can you plug your ears, please? Teenagers, Journey Youth. Journey Youth is fun. Don't get me wrong. It's a passion. It's fun. But sometimes it's a chore. Corey, back me up. Amen. Okay, so amen, just so I'm not alone. But you know what I'm saying? Like, yes, be a part. Come serve. Come do something. Be a part. But no, 13-year-old Jake, that's not what gets you saved. Jesus is not keeping a productivity log. Right back to the circle. Okay, this time I'm probably like losing eye contact with him because I just don't know what to say. Third answer, I don't do bad stuff. Let's sink in. It's a 13-year-old boy with a 13-year-old mind. Hello. Also with a 13-year-old smart mouth of my parents, right? So I do bad stuff. What does bad stuff even mean? Just because I wasn't going to my friend's house and busting the liquor cabinet or you know, smoking or doing drugs, and I surely was not talking to girls at that point because, again, shy. But just because I wasn't doing that stuff doesn't mean I wasn't perfect. Even now, you know, I've never faced or battled addiction, but I'm pretty good at making my wife feel like garbage sometimes. I am a professional sometimes at losing my temper with my boys. We're all struggling against something, and it's important to fight those struggles. It's important to fight those addictions. It's important to come here to do that, to seek out God's will for our lives compared to what we've been doing. But no, that's not why I was saved. Because Jesus is not surprised by my sin. So back to the circle. And I don't know what I said next. I might have said, because I read my Bible, which was probably a lie because, you know, I probably wasn't doing it that much. So, you know, I'm scrambling, and he just kind of like relaxes the moment. And very compassionately with, you know, just, you know, very, very nice and easy, just started like explaining, no, like none of that stuff. He wasn't like, you know, you're an idiot, kid. Like, you should know this. Why are you here? You're going to go tell people about Jesus. You don't even know why you're saved. It was nothing like that. He just broke down very simply and plainly. He's like, okay, those are good things, but you're saved because of Jesus and what he did. It's because he was born, you know, perfect birth, perfect life, death on the cross, rose again to prove he was who he said he was. And that's why you're saved. Do you believe that? Well, yeah, of course. So before that moment, did I think I was in danger of, you know, going to hell and missing out on heaven? No. But that was my moment that I realized my belief in who Jesus is and what he did is what connects me to God. That's the doorway. Not what I've done, but that was the doorway. And that was my moment. What should my answer have been from the beginning? Jesus. My answer now is Jesus. If you ask me why I know I'm saved, it's because of Jesus. And now I always go back to that moment. That's when I realized, that's when I understood. And from there, you know, he took me to places I never even dreamed about. And I say he took me, like I was following God's will, God's direction, because some of the things I've been able to do, like right out of high school, I got to go to Maui for a couple years. And that's where I met my wife. I was able to travel to Asia, South America, Africa, and do all these crazy things. And it wasn't just the surroundings and the places I was at, but it was the work that I was able to do is what inspired this passion for Nancy and I to do missions. And it's because of what Jesus did. Like, I always have to go back to that moment of understanding why I'm doing what I'm doing. Why am I going to these places? It's because of Jesus. Why are you committing yourself to Journey Church when you have all these connections and all these things you guys could do? It's because of Jesus. He's put his passion on his heart to be here. It's because of Jesus. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, right after what we just read a minute ago, said, as a result, because of what Jesus did, as a result, I can really know Christ. So at that moment, you know, before I was just like Paul. You know, all these things I do is what get me to Jesus. This is my mindset. You know, I was nothing, you know, I was like a Pharisee in my mind. If that's how I'm going to answer, then that's what I was kind of doing. But no, it's because of what Jesus did. Something had to have happened for there to be a result. So what Jesus did, that's what happened. The result is, by believing and having faith in that, we get to know Jesus and identify with Jesus and connect to God through that. So I kind of want to end like this. So a couple weeks ago, you know, four of us got to go over to Burundi to visit a Providence orphanage. And this is one of those places that God took me that I had no clue I could ever go, ever. You know, this was not on my radar. You know, Burundi is like this big. And so we got to go there. We got to see all the kids. And I know everybody's anxious to know even more about what we did, and we'll get to that and share that as we go along. But we got to hang out with the kids, see the city, be with Georgette. And then she took us up to the farm, which is up in the mountains, away from the city. It was a two and a half hour drive. Should have took like 20 minutes, but the roads as they are in the rainy season, it took us 2 hours to get there. And so we get to this place, and it's about 10 acres or so. And, you know, Georgette, that's her family's land. The house that she's standing in front of is where she was born. This is where she grew up. And, you know, we all have heard Georgette's story, if you've come to Journey any amount of time. You know, you heard how she grew up in Burundi and there was war and there was genocide between some tribes. So she had to escape to neighboring countries, refugee camp in Congo, made her way to Belgium, made her way back to the States, and this is where she kind of landed for a bit. And then she committed to go back to her home country to serve God, to help put it back together. And so she went back to the farm, to her land, to kind of reclaim it. You know, she uses it to, we have goats that we raise, all kinds of crops to kind of resource and help out the orphanage. And so we went there and we visited, we checked it out. And these houses, you know, there's two separate buildings that, you know, was the family kind of compound. And they're nothing. They're just the concrete walls is all that's left. Because when they came through, they took everything. They took the roof materials, you know, any belongings. They just wiped it out. And they've been sitting like this for 20 years or so now. And so, you know, we're standing there, and Georgette starts, you know, telling a story. And, you know, the car ride up and down, she's saying different things with those of us. So we're starting to put these pieces together. You know, we knew the story that Georgette, you know, she made it out. You know, she had kids, she had a husband, they made it out. But it goes back even further to her parents on this property. So her parents, or her family, was Tutsi. Tutsi's like the white-collar minority, is the easiest way I can put it. And then you have the Hutus, which is like the blue-collar majority. And when the genocide and the war started, it was because the Hutus said, we're tired of being out of power and not having any control, because the Tutsis were, you know, political parties and ruling things. And then the Hutus had enough, and they decided, we're going to take it by force. And that's when they started sweeping through, and that's where the genocide comes in. Georgette's family as Tutsis was on this farm, in this property, in these mountains, but they were surrounded by Hutus. And when the genocide started happening, the neighboring Hutus, you know, some of the close neighbors came to Georgette's dad and said, you guys got to get out of here because they're going to come for you. They're going to kill you. Now, the reason that they were saved, rescued in that way, and the neighbors, you know, came and told them, is because regardless of tribe or who you were or what you've done, you're just mom and dad committed to helping anybody they could, whether it was feeding them if they had the resources, sheltering them when they could if you needed it, or even Georgette's mom became like the village doctor, the village nurse, if you will, doing what she could with whatever medicine she could come up with to help people, you know, that were sick or injured or hurting, and kind of nurse them back. So they gained favor with their neighbors that were of a different, you know, bloodline or just a different tribe. Which is the tribal stuff is something we can't really understand, but you know, it's a big thing over there. So this is a big moment. So they got out, and you know, we have Georgette with us today, and she's gone back to the farm to show them, the Hutus around, that there is forgiveness. Even though this all happened, you know, although my family got out, you know, she has uncles, nephews just down the road that got killed out in front of their house. They made it out, but she's there for forgiveness. So I'm standing in her house. You know, I have a picture of me standing in the middle of their house and looking at these walls and just thinking, God, how did I get here? Like, why am I here? Why do I have this passion here? And I think it's important that we all have those moments that put us back to the first time we realized it was Jesus. In that moment in Georgette's house, God's like, you're doing this because of me. Like, I've put this passion in your heart, so continue to do it. Always goes back to that moment here in this circle. So my question to you guys would be, maybe you've grown up in church. Maybe you've gone to Journey for 2 weeks. Maybe you know all the Bible stories. You know all the answers. You know all the history. Maybe you've had an experience with God before. But if somebody came up to you and asked you, how do you know you're saved? Do you remember what your answer should be? And if it is Jesus, do you remember the moment when you realized that? Because if you haven't had that moment yet, today could be the day. Because right now I'm going to ask some of our leadership to come up, stand along here to be ready to pray. And in a couple minutes I'm going to pray, and we'll be dismissed. But I believe there's some people in here that might want to have that moment. Even if it's a refresher is not the right word, but a reminder. Like I had in that house, a reminder. Do you need that moment today? Because no matter who you are in here, what you've done, Jesus still loves you. Jesus still cares for you. Jesus died for you on that cross too. And he's here for you today. You can have that moment. Now, I know we offer prayer every week, but just a reminder that this area, whether you want to pray with one of these guys or just kind of kneel at the stage or even at your own chair, like that's available every week. So let me encourage you guys to take advantage of that. That's why we come up here and do worship at the end to create, you know, we try to create an atmosphere to continuing you guys being able to connect with God. Just because the message is over doesn't mean you have to jet out of here. But if you do have to jet out, hey, no problem. We'll see you next week. So if you guys want to stand with me and allow me to pray for you guys, and then we'll open up this time. And like I said, if you guys got to get out of here, thank you so much for this opportunity. We'll see you guys next week. We'll start our Christmas story. And that's going to be a good time. But please, please, if you're feeling a tug in your mind or in your heart to come up here and just spend some time, by all means do. All right? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this time. I thank you for this place you've given us to meet, God. But more importantly, I thank you for sending your son Jesus for us. I thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit for us and that we have constant ability to have connection with you at all times, God. And so I pray that that's being made right now. I pray that those in the seats that may be feeling that tug to connect with you guys and have that moment, that they would take that step, God, out of their seat, Lord. And if they decide to go out those doors, that you would follow them to their car, to their home, God, and never stop pursuing them, God. And God, thank you for what you've done just in this place and what you're going to do in the future, God. Let's call this in Jesus' name. Amen. Was this all right? Was it okay? Yeah. Thank you guys. Again, the front's open. If you guys got to go, we'll see you. We love you guys here at Journey, and we'll see you next week.